In college basketball, you never know what will happen, but one thing is for certain, that the more hoops you get, the better chance you have of winning. And Greg Peterson, the man whose nickname is Hoops, knows all about it. From the blue bloods to the afterthoughts, Greg breaks down every game, every team, every day. So now it is time for Hooping with Hoops.
Well, hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas. We're Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peters, and we've got a terrific podcast for you. As we know, there's a lot of question as to what might be happening this season with the Pac-12. There's been a lot of hubbub as to whether or not they're actually going to be sticking with the plan of not playing any college basketball games until January, what have you. So, joining us in the second segment, we welcome on Roxy Bernstein. He obviously does some games with the Pac-12 Network. He also does some work with the Oakland A's, ESPN, when it comes to their college basketball and their baseball coverage. So, that is going to be a terrific chat in the second segment. He's joined this podcast a few times. Always love to be able to get him on, so I am fully looking forward to that. In the final segment, I give you a little bit of a roundup as to everything we saw from a news standpoint in college basketball on Monday. I always love your Twitter questions on this podcast. If there is something that you'd like answered on this fine podcast, you're able to fire it in one of two ways. Obviously, the Twitter timeline at JRSQuarty1. If you fire it in via the Twitter timeline, do not send it via DM, because those letters DM to me mean does not matter. It is a black hole in which whatever goes into my DMs does not come out, so you want to be avoiding that. Or you could send in an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, you let me know your beef that you have with this podcast, you give me some praise, you come up with a segment idea, which I would be very, very much preferred if you're able to come up with any sort of a segment idea. Please do send it in. I want to give you guys what you want to hear on this podcast, so fire that in. I did not get in anything today, but what we do have back into our lives is a whole bunch of sports. As we know, the new start date for the college basketball season, that is going to be November 25th, but in the meantime, we've got football back into our lives. I obviously do the baseball betting podcast as well. I've been breaking down all those games this year. And we've got, obviously, a lot of playoff action as well with the NHL Stanley Cup having Game 1 played on Monday. You've got the NBA postseason at a fever pitch. And now is the best time to be able to get in on all the action. And the best place to do so is MyBookie, because if you sign up with MyBookie and you make your first deposit while using the promo code Greg, that is my name, G-R-E-G, you are able to get your first deposit up to $1,000 double. Now, a rollover does apply, but you're able to get in on a little bit of everything. As you know, on this podcast, when we are in the regular season, I give you a side total on every game, every single day, and you're obviously able to bet on all that, but you're able to go a little bit more exotic with things like player props. You're able to go with some futures, parlays, what have you. So you've got your choice of everything that you want to do. Just go to MyBookie, you wind up typing in that promo code Greg, you get your first deposit doubled, and you're going to have yourself a good time. So big thanks to them for all that they do on this podcast, and a big thanks to Roxy Bernstein for joining me on this podcast as well. Coming up next, we're going to get a little bit of a lay of the land as to what everything is happening with regards to the Pac-12. We're also going to be just talking about how some of these schools are trying to get around these local restrictions, especially the state of California. I think it's very interesting how they're getting in workouts and practices as well. So we're going to be talking about all that and so much more with Roxy on the other side right here on Ubuntu. Myself, Greg Peterson.
Greg is going to the bench and bringing in a sharp shooter from the Overtime Network Hotline.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. It is great to be joined by our next guest, as this man does an absolutely terrific job. He does a lot of work with ESPN. He does a lot of it when it comes to the Pac-12 Network, but he also does just some general games on ESPN. He also does some baseball as well out there in the state of California. He also does some radio show hosting out there in the city of San Francisco as well. This is a man that he's a little bit of everywhere, and he does a great job. And you can follow him on Twitter, and he makes it very easy for you to follow him on Twitter at his name, Roxy Bernstein, just all together as it is. Roxy, joining me on the podcast, and it's always great to have you aboard. Thank you so much for joining me.
Happy to join you as always. Look forward to it.
And we are certainly looking forward to the college basketball season that, as we know now, it is going to be taking place on November 25th. And we know this about the Pac-12 as well. It was announced about a month or so ago, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, that it would be not until 2021 that the league would be starting to play games with regards to college basketball, but I know that there's been a little bit of buzz that that might be flexible because I know that the league has come to an agreement to be able to do some more rapid testing. Where do things stand on this? Because it certainly is a hot button topic. I've been hearing that there's just a whole lot of discussion that is going on with this because I know that UC San Diego, I had Steve Quist, who also does great work with ESPN. Their game that was supposed to open up their college basketball, I guess you could call it livelihood against Cal with regards to the D1 level, it has yet to be formally canceled. So I feel like there's a lot of mystery as to what's going on with this. What have you been hearing with regards to the Pac-12 perhaps playing baseball, perhaps playing basketball prior to the 2021 season?
Well, initially it was thought that nothing was going to happen until after New Year's. And you alluded to the partnership that the Pac-12 has with Quidel, this biotech firm, and the possibility of the rapid testing. It really is a game changer. And reading up on it, you could say that the Pac-12 has better testing than even the NFL does. Now it's just a question of making sure it's up and running. When can they get football going? And then after that, basketball. And if they're in the mix as far as that November 25th start date, I think it would be great to see. Because this was supposed to be, I think, a really big season for the Pac-12. There's a lot of talent and depth, even with some of the guys that were lost to the NBA. But it certainly does get you excited that hoops could be around the corner. In fact, I was talking to an assistant coach from a Pac-12 school today, and that's the anticipation. They have guys working out. Now they're doing it in some unique situations. For example, schools like Cal and Stanford having to get workouts outdoors. Cal's working out. They put basketball hoops on the tennis courts over there. They're trying to get creative and do things just to be ready when it's time to go. But the testing is really a game changer, Greg, in terms of allowing the Pac-12, I think, to really ramp things up and get going where previously we thought it wasn't going to happen until after New Year's.
I agree with you, and it's very good news that we are perhaps seeing the Pac-12 being able to come to the forefront when it comes to college basketball, because we know this as well. The conference is a little bit more revamped. A lot of players wound up going back to UCLA with Chris Smith and company all being back with Mick Cronin. We know that Tyshawn Nix, who was supposed to come into the program, he is not going to be, but you still have a very solid program there with Stanford Tyrell Terry's not banging the fold, but you take a look at Zaire Williams being in there. All the players have entered into Arizona State's program when it comes to all the freshmen that they've been able to get in, when it comes to the transfers that they've been able to land, including Holland Woods from Portland State. Oregon, no doubt, is going to be locked and loaded once again. I just think that the Pac-12 in general has been able to establish itself the last couple of years as being more than just a 3 or 4 bid league, because what we've noticed with the Pac-12 over the last couple of years, this was really accented when you wound up having Oregon being very solid, Arizona's always towards the top, and then you had UCLA, and you really didn't have a lot else outside of that. You had Oregon State make the NCAA tournament in like 2016. You'd have some straggler runs from a team like Cal and company, but it really feels like for the first time in a long time, you've got a conference in which I don't know if I would say all 12 teams are going to be really competitive and are going to be really difficult, but at minimum, 10 of the 12 are going to be.
Well, and it would have been interesting to see had we had a selection Sunday, what would have happened last year? How many Pac-12 teams would have gotten in? And there were some teams that were on the bubble, but in a pretty good spot. For example, Stanford had some really good wins, but then they kind of struggled a bit down the stretch. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened with them. But clearly, there's more depth to it. There's more balance to it. It's a much more competitive league than it has been. It's because I think some of the outlier schools, if you will, okay, you think of the blue blood programs like UCLA, like Arizona. Oregon has emerged as a player year in, year out now, but who else? I mean, it just goes to show you how deep the league was last year when Washington, who got off to the great start, was ranked early in the year. A school that had 2 McDonald's All-Americans finished last in the conference. It was a league that just seemed to get better. There's some younger players that got some experience. For example, a school like Colorado benefited. Yes, they lost Tyler Bay, but McKinley Wright decided to come back. This league has turned into a really good basketball league again. After maybe a little bit of a dry spell, it's great to see there is this balance to the Pac-12.
I agree with you. It is good to see schools like Washington State being competitive once again. Cal was down in the dumps for quite a while. It seems like they're starting to rise up as well. And just being able to get that balance, absolutely huge for the Pac-12. As we do have Roxy Bernstein joining me on the podcast, And Roxy, something else I think is going to be key for the offseason of the Pac-12, if it does wind up happening, is these tournaments that have been moved around. As we know, the Maui Invitational, it is now going to be pretty much the Asheville Invitational. I don't think anyone saw that coming. The battle for Atlantis, well, the age-old question of where is Atlantis this year, it's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we have seen a lot of that going on, but I do notice that a lot of these events are going to be taking place more on the eastern part of the country. I know that Orlando has certainly emerged as a big hub for a lot of these non-conference events. We know that Mohegan Sun is trying to host quite a few as well, but we also know that Las Vegas is starting to step up to the plate as well. How critical do you think it is that more places like maybe a Las Vegas? I know that there's obviously California, but the restrictions are much more heavy than they are in, say, a state like Florida, a state like the Carolinas. How big is it that maybe something gets set up in these states? Because I know that a big thing when it comes to COVID-19 right now is travel, and I feel like it's going to be much easier for some of these Pac-12 teams to be able to get in their games if there are a couple more hubs out here in the West Coast, because we've been hearing most of these non-conference events taking place more towards the eastern part of the country.
I think it would be a big benefit. You worry about the travel right now, trying to get on an airplane, especially if you're going to go from the West Coast to the East Coast. And we do it commercially. There's not as many charters for whatever reason. Now, maybe in a situation like this, you try to raise the revenue from your donors to be able to do charter planes. But it certainly would help the balance. It would help that aspect if there were some hubs out west, if Las Vegas did become that, if Phoenix, these are areas. And it's not just for the Pac-12, but I think it could benefit the West Coast Conference, which has certainly had some successful teams lately, not just Gonzaga, but you look at St. Mary's at BYU, the Mountain West Conference, even the Big West has had some nice moments in the NCAA tournament recently with UC Irvine. I think it would be a benefit to have some opportunities out west for the Western conferences to not have to travel cross country, not have to deal with that. You know, for example, with all the schools that are here in California, if they could meet somewhere. And for the different leagues, you can get some stuff done. I think just a huge benefit if there were more opportunities out west for the West Coast schools.
I agree with you. And Roxy, where do things stand when it comes to just these schools out there in the California area being able to practice? Because we know that so many of these Pac-12 schools, California, USC, UCLA, what have you, they are based out there in the state. Where do they stand with being able to meet up, being able to just get in some practices, what have you? Because I have to think that right now, the schools in the state of California are in a much different spot than, say, the schools out there in Arizona and Arizona State, where the restrictions are a bit more lax.
Well, one thing is the Pac-12 has been unified. They've stuck together throughout this process, whether it's football, whether it's basketball. It seems they're all on the same page. But as you pointed out, the states have different policies. And right now, for example, in the state of California, they can't work out indoors and they can't get larger groups together. So you can't have a full practice. You could do some individual workouts, but schools are having to do it and be creative in the way that they're getting this done in terms of, as we mentioned before, putting basketball hoops on the tennis courts and going out there and getting your workouts there. Stanford, for example, they put some baskets up underneath the stands at the football stadium. They're looking for space anywhere they can to try to make this happen and give opportunities for their guys to get some workouts in. But in the state of California, it has not been easy. Not only have you been dealing with restrictions in terms of what's going on with the virus, but also with the poor air quality out west. And now it's gotten better in recent days, but you go the last couple of weeks, Greg, it was horrific, the air quality and how bad it was. And you couldn't even do workouts outside. It really has been a disadvantage, I think, for the schools out west. But you also have to comply with the local ordinances, whether it's the state, local, the county rules that are in place. It's made it challenging for the West Coast schools to get workouts in.
Yeah, I have to imagine that things that wound up happening due to the fires really did put a big giant damper on things. It's just one of those things where it's like, all right, we have one thing and it seems like we're finally going to get it figured out. And then boom, another thing. That's 2020 in a nutshell, as we do have Roxy Bernstein joining me on the podcast. And Roxy, just when it comes to the college basketball landscape in general, I do think that things were done very well with just setting up this November 25th date to be able to start up the year, because as we know, it was supposed to take place on November 10th, but I know that according to a lot of the things I've been seeing, I think that Jeff Goodman of Stadium wound up tweeting out that 76% of schools, they're going to be all done and squared away with classes by the time that November 25th date does roll around because of the academic schedule. And I do feel like it is going to be a little bit more interesting when it comes to conference play. I know that the Metro Atlantic Conference has already set aside a week for being able to get in COVID makeups if it does wind up being the case. We know that there have been other conferences, especially the Power Five schools, that they are planning to play a couple conference games when it comes to December as well, which you typically think, oh, these teams are just going to wind up playing a whole bunch of non-conference games. They'll just set up their conference schedule for 2021. Do you know where the Pac-12 is standing on trying to be able to set up a conference? Because I know that they're a conference as well that was looking to expand their schedule, and I know that they're a conference that they've been looking to play 20 conference games as well.
Well, that was the plan, to play 20 league games, and it was more of a trying to boost the RPI and make it stronger, as well as the quad one games as opposed to quad three or quad four. But I think all options are on the table right now. They're trying to do this as smartly and as well as they can in terms of if they do non-conference, okay, if these tournaments are held in these certain areas. But for example, USC and UCLA have the benefit of so many schools in Southern California where they don't have to get on an airplane. They can either just hop on a bus, go somewhere, that team buses to them, and they get a non-conference game. You look at, you know, all the Big West schools down in Southern California, whether it's a Long Beach State, a Santa Barbara, an Irvine, Cal State Fullerton. You look at San Diego State down there. You look at the West Coast Conference and LMU and Pepperdine, the University of San Diego. There are so many opportunities to get non-conference games where I think we'll see it more and more that they are looking for those local non-conference games, even if it isn't one of those big power games. Now, it becomes more challenging for schools, let's say like Arizona, Arizona State, where in state, there's really only two Division I options with Grand Canyon and with Northern Arizona. So maybe you do expand your area and you do try to get some games, whether it's with the San Diego State or a UNLV. In the Northwest, it has its challenges. Opportunities are limited in the state of Oregon, where it's just Portland and Portland State for the two Pac-12 schools. Or the state of Washington, where it's just Eastern Washington and Gonzaga. Or you cross the border into Idaho, you want to get a game there. I think that will really be the story when it comes to non-conference games, if we get there, is I think they're going to try to keep it as local as possible just to lower the percentages. And if you don't have to get on an airplane, I think that would benefit everybody greatly.
I agree. And I still remember from my time working out with 102.9 750 The Game in Portland that it felt like every year either Oregon or Oregon State would play a non-D1 school by the name of Western Oregon. So that could be something that certainly comes about as well. It is one of these things in which things are so fluid. The Pac-12 is certainly one to watch out for as well, because other than the Ivy League, and we all know that the Ivy League, they are able to fund themselves just fine without sports because of that thing called academics and all the famous alum, everything that winds up being able to generate money when it comes to non-sports that is going on there. But the Pac-12 is right now the lone one other than the Ivy League that is currently not set for playing games prior to the calendar year of 2021. So I know that it's a very fluid situation. And Roxy, I know that it's one that very much affects you because you do a lot of great work when it comes to ESPN, the Pac-12 Network, when it comes to their college basketball. I also know that you do a little bit of baseball as well, though. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and just what you're working on in general right now.
Well, you rattled off the Twitter handle before, at Roxy Bernstein. But I've been doing some Major League Baseball for ESPN Radio. I also do some work with the Oakland A's. Look, it's been an adjustment for everybody, right? That when we're at the ballpark calling games, it's an empty stadium. And then I've been calling games from my house, my home office. It was crazy. Like, for example, on Saturday, I did the Giants and A's for ESPN Radio, and I didn't go to the ballpark. I did it from my house, even though I'm only about 35 minutes away from the Oakland Coliseum. That's how we're doing things these days. Everything is different in 2020. There's no complaints in 2020 either. We're happy with what we get. But it has had its challenges and adjustments, and you just deal with it. And it's funny, after calling a few games from my home studio and then going to the ballpark and calling a game that was right in front of me, that was an adjustment. I had to retrain myself to call the game that was being played on the field down below and not continuously look at the monitor, which I have to do when I'm doing it from home. I'll have a game Saturday. We're not sure yet what game we're going to be doing. We're waiting to see how the races develop this week. And that's one of the luxuries of this is we don't necessarily have to, book plane tickets and hotels and all that. We can wait and see how things play out. And whatever game is the most appealing and has the biggest impact as far as the pennant races go, that's the game we're going to do on Saturday. And it's just, we just have to arrange, make sure the feeds, we get the proper ones and we're able to call the game. And so we might not make that decision until Friday, what game I'm going to have on Saturday.
And I'm certainly hoping it's a game that involves the Milwaukee Brewers, who are currently in the postseason. I am a native of the state of Wisconsin. So hopefully they can win a couple games and you'll be able to call that game, as it would be very appealing to see the Cardinals and the Brewers fighting it out for a postseason spot. But certainly it is going to be fascinating just what we're going to be getting this year in general. And it's going to be very intriguing to see how these games are going to be called. They're probably going to be broadcast in a little bit of a different way. I don't know this as well when it comes to the ESPN broadcast. I don't know if you've had any firsthand experience with this, but I know that in the MLB, there have been quite a few guys that have been mic'd up towards the season as well, just for the game. I remember Bryce Harper very famously had his microphone pop out. He wound up putting it back in. I think that that's giving fans a little bit of a different perspective as well. One of the unintended, I guess, good things that has happened through all of this, which has been very strange.
It has been, but we're looking for also to be able to take the viewer to somewhere where they can't go. And anything you can do to add and enhance the broadcast this year, and certainly the players have to be on board with it, but I think everybody is. And it really is cool when you have those opportunities. When a player's mic'd up, you're talking to him during the course of a game. They did it recently in an A's-Padres game where they had Fernando Tatis Jr. mic'd up during the game. You had somebody drop a swear word on there. They forgot they were on the mic. So, that happens, and it comes with the territory. But I think we're all looking for something to make it more creative and more interesting, and whatever is better for the viewer and the fan at home, I'm all for it.
I agree with you. And certainly, even if players for college basketball aren't mic'd up, we're going to know what they're saying a little bit more if they're playing games without fans for just very obvious reasons. I know that Roxy is going to be doing a great job when it comes to this college basketball season in whatever form we wind up getting it. So big thanks to Roxy Bernstein for joining me right here on Hoop with Hoops. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap of all the news, notes, and what have you from college basketball on Monday. Las Vegas, Roopin with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. It is always a pleasure to get Roxy Bernstein on this podcast. He's doing a great job doing a little bit of everything. As we know, there's been some layoffs at the Pac-12. I'm glad that he was not one of them because he is absolutely superb at what he does. He's doing some great work with ESPN's baseball coverage right now. Once the college basketball season is back into our lives, he is going to be on the call of so many of those games as well, whether it be via his home, whether that be via the arena, what have you. It is going to be very interesting, and I would love to see college basketball mic up some of these guys as well. I think it would be very interesting. I think it would probably be not safe for little children to hear what some of these guys are saying, but I certainly do think it adds a little bit of an element to some of these broadcasts, and it's just great to have Roxy Bernstein adding an element to all of our viewing when it comes to college basketball as well. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Hoopin' with Hoops. And now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to everything we saw from a news standpoint in college basketball on Monday. We are noticing that there is a little bit more when it comes to these on-conference schedules coming out. According to John Rothstein, does a great job of following everything college basketball for CBS Sports. The Atlantic 10 versus Mountain West Challenge for the 2020-2021 season has been canceled. Obviously, you would have quite a bit of travel, which we were talking about with Roxy Bernstein being an issue, because if you have like San Diego State, I don't know who they were supposed to play, but for example, having to go and play against VCU, for example, who's out there in the state of Virginia, I mean, you can't get much more round the country than that, going from the West Coast to the East Coast. So obviously some logistical issues there. As far as I've seen, the other challenges have not been canceled. The Gavitt games between the Big Ten and the Big East, that is still a little bit up in the air because typically that takes place before November 25th. The ACC Big Ten challenge is certainly a question mark as well. We were talking to Brandon Marks of The Athletic a few days ago. He does a great job of following all things when it comes to Duke, North Carolina, the ACC in general. And it seemed like North Carolina and Duke were still banking on having their Big Ten ACC Challenge games going on, so there is that. And it was announced a few days ago that the Big 12 versus SEC Challenge is still on, and that's in the month of January, so that would probably be one the last ones to be canceled. The only reason why it probably would be to try to get in as many conference games as possible, so I'm certainly keeping my eye on that. And then we had quite a bit of transfer news, notes, what have you, from Monday. Kareem Ozier is going to be eligible immediately for Louisiana Monroe. This is going to be a huge gift for them. He was playing for Sacred Heart during the 2019-20 season. This was not a closer home waiver, I can tell you that. Yes, he's going to Louisiana Monroe, and he's a native of Racine, Wisconsin. I know where that is, and I can tell you that. Trying to get from Racine, Wisconsin to Louisiana. That is more than 100 miles away, like you typically want for those closer home movements. But you take a look at Ozier. He was terrific during the 2019-20 season. Gave the team 14 points, about 2 assists, 3.3 rebounds. He regressed a little bit there. As during the 2018-19 season, he also averaged 14 points per game, but gave the team more around 5 rebounds per game, but shot nearly 36% from 3. Gave the team a little bit over a steal per game, so it's pretty rock solid there. The 3 turnovers were a little bit unsightly, but considering what Louisiana Monroe had during the 2019-20 season, considering all the losses that they've had, very welcome sight there. Duncan Alexander has decided that he's going to be transferring away from Charleston Southern. I thought that he already did, and I thought that he had went somewhere else, but he is back out there, and he is in the transfer portal. He was a big part of Charleston Southern the last 2 years. During the 2019-20 season, this most recent one, 4 points and 4 rebounds per game, along with nearly a steal per game. He wound up shooting 28% for 3 as a 6'8 combo player. Actually, was a little bit better as a freshman. Fewer rebounds per game at 3.4, but shot more on 34% for 3 to go with 5.5 points per game. So we actually saw a little bit of a decrease in numbers with an increase in minutes. I thought that that was interesting, and 3 points or fewer in 3 out of his last 5 games. So he certainly is looking for a little bit more of a fit, native of the state of North Carolina. Got to think that just like we've seen with pretty much every other sport, the NFL, NBA, MLB, what have you, that guys are going to wind up opting out. That's going to place a little bit of a premium on guys like Alexander that wind up entering into the transfer portal late, or they decide that they're going to go to a school, they then opt back out, and they decide to re-enter into the transfer portal. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Joey St. Pierre, he was at the non-D1 level for Wisconsin Parkside. I believe that that is the only D2 school in the state of Wisconsin. He has decided that he is going to be transferring into UW-Milwaukee. Now, he wound up playing his sophomore year at Parkside during the 2019-20 season. He wasn't necessarily the world's greatest player. He gave the team 9 points per game. He wound up shooting from 3-point range 0% because he's a big man, shot 65% at the free throw line, and gave the team 5 rebounds per game. He is 6'9", 270 pounds. I don't see how he's going to make any sort of an impact at the D1 level, but congratulations to Joey St. Pierre for joining a D1 program. This is someone that is going to be going from a D1 program, and he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. It is going to be Bryant's Ayo Dada, and he is going to be going from Bryant, and he is going to be going to Limestone College. If you are wondering where Limestone College, well, I'm sure that you're one of very, very many, as Limestone College is out there in the SAC. They play against teams like the Tuscum Pioneers, the Queens of North Carolina Royals, and the Wingate Bulldogs. So, certainly not one of those schools that you hear a whole heck of a lot about. And as you can expect, he didn't wind up giving Bryant too much during the 2019-20 season. He averaged a point and a rebound per game. He wound up seeing action in 14 contests, and he shot 15% from 3. So these are very nice. All you need to do is be like, ah, Mr. Dotto, he wound up playing during the 2019-20 season. He is no longer with the program. Fix it, forget it, boom, you're done. Nice and easy there. What else is going to be nice and easier is taking a look at Yuat Olak, and he is no longer going to be at Southern Utah. This is someone that you may remember from not necessarily his Utah days, but he wound up beginning his career at TCU. He has been a little bit of a well-traveled gentleman as he wound up playing 10 games during the 2018-19 season for TCU. He was then with the Central Florida program, and now he is out there on the transfer portal, and he's marked his last playing with the University of Southern Utah. So this is pretty much like the one guy that you see in like the MLB or what have you that has played for so many different teams. I'll call him the Fernando Rodney of it. You could insert your favorite team here, but certainly very interesting. And he wound up playing 10 games during the 2018-19 season for TCU. He is someone that is 6'11", 235 pounds. He came over from New Zealand, and he was able to give the team 3.5 points and 2.5 rebounds per game. You got to think that some mid-major would absolutely love to have him in their program, and you got to think that there'd be a mid-major that would love to have this guy in their program as well. AJ Taylor, 6'6" combo player, has decided that he's going to be transferring away from NC State. Only saw one game during the 2019-20 season, but he's a native of Davenport, Iowa, so it's going to be interesting to see where he's going to be able to go. Someone that, reading his scouting report, he is able to shoot some threes, so it's going to be fascinating to see if he winds up getting picked up by a mid-major school. And then LaPree McCray Pace is going down to the non-D1 level. Last year he played for Morgan State. He is now going to be going to Westchester out there on the eastern part of the country. 6'4", 220-pound gentleman that was actually very solid in his freshman year at Morgan State during the 2017-18 season. Gave the team nearly 6 points, shot over 40% from three, 2.5 rebounds per game. And then when the new coaching regime took hold for Morgan State, he wound up only seeing 6 contests of actual action, 7.5 minutes per game, and he wound up averaging 1.5 per game. So you can tell that he fell a little bit out of favor. But hopefully I'm in favor with you. I am continuing on this podcast my look at every one of these D1 conferences, and with that, a deep dive of all 357 D1 teams. When it comes to mid-majors, West Coast Conference and the SWAC are the final two that I needed to do, and then from there, we're going to be getting into the big boys, the Big East, Big Ten, Pac-12, what have you. So if you like that, and you like what I'm doing on this live podcast, Hoopin' with Hoof, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you ever have any question for the podcast, please send that into either my Twitter timeline at Jared41, don't send them via DM, or leave an Apple Podcast review. If you rate 5 stars, you help give this podcast more exposure. It is always appreciated, and you're able to get in your question, your segment idea, nudge, nudge, wink, wink there, and I'm able to read them all on air, and you help out this podcast, which I always appreciate. I do appreciate you guys always tuning into this fine podcast. A big thanks to Roxy Bernstein for joining me in the second segment. Just terrific work with ESPN and the Pac-12 Network. I do hope that you're all safe, healthy, and doing well, and I'll talk to you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.